I want to start this episode off with a quote from William Osler. William Osler is a much quoted man who helped found Hopkins Medical School and is probably the most prominent American medical thinker that there is, and the one most trampled on. Everything Osler did to improve medicine no longer exists, and we will discuss why. I'm going to have a lot of Osler quotes throughout this podcast, but I'll a heck of a lot today, and I'll repeat them because they're worth repeating. So this one says, "Far too large a section of the treatment of disease is today controlled by the big manufacturing pharmacists who have enslaved us in a plausible pseudoscience." Wow, that was written in the late 1800s. That's before Big Pharma got the name Big Pharma, but it was still around even back then. And doctors are the greatest pharmaceutical representatives. That's why I entitled this episode Pimps and Drug Dealers. Because unfortunately, had Osler gotten his way, had medical education gone the way that he described, and his was a bedside teaching method sprinkled with science, believed in nuance, did not believe in measuring and fixing numbers, and certainly did not believe in medications. Had we gone that way, things would be a lot different today. But we took a turn in 1910, a turn that Alan Roth and I describe in our new book that is coming out in a few months, and a turn that changed medicine forever and changed doctors who at that point were often charlatans and snake oil salesmen, who Osler was turning into passionate, compassionate scientists, turned them back to snake oil salesmen, pimps and drug dealers, which is what they are today. And that's what they're taught to be, and that's what they are. And they couch it in scientific language, much like we saw with COVID, with the masks. You know, the fact that every study shows they don't work didn't really get in the way of doctors saying that they do work and, you know, putting on their white coat in their authoritative ways and saying, "Listen to me, I know best for you." Osler said, "The person who takes medicine must recover twice, once from the disease and once from the medicine." Osler said, "One of the first duties of the physician is to educate the masses not to take medicine." Osler said, "The young physician starts life with 20 drugs for each disease, and the old physician ends life with one drug for 20 diseases." It's all saying the same thing. The only problem is, in our medical system today, the young physician uses 20 drugs for one disease, and the old physician uses 20 drugs for one disease. We are taught in our medical system, because of the system that came after the Flexner Report in 1910, a report that was a conglomeration of the American Medical Association that wanted to control healthcare, the Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundation that wanted to make money from healthcare, and academic medicine, which wanted the big universities to be part of that money pool. That group, which hated Osler, and Osler hated them, that group defined what we are today. And what we and that came at the same time as eugenics, and many of the people from Hopkins who created this new system were also prominent in the eugenic field. William Welch was the biggest one, and he and Osler just detested each other. But eugenics basically believes that you can measure things and make these crazy conclusions. Like, I could figure out from doing some testing whether you're a moron or not, whether you deserve to have babies or not. And that actually, we know, happened. So the medical system is exactly the same. Our perception of the medical system, if you go to a cardiologist, the most picked on doctor in the podcast, deservedly so. If you go to a cardiologist, the odds are they will check your cholesterol, and they will want your cholesterol below a certain arbitrary number that doesn't change whether you're 20 years old or 95 years old. Where they get this number from, who knows? As we've talked about, if you have atrial fibrillation, you must go on blood thinners. They will give a calculator to prove you're going to die if you don't. And if you die on blood thinners or get a stroke on blood thinners, well, that was just unfortunate. That's crazy. Probably had nothing to do with the blood thinners. Because they don't believe in downsides to any of this. They will measure you every which way you can be measured. They will measure you if you have blockages and insist you must fix the blockages. They will get echocardiograms and tell you what your ejection fraction is, and that number means everything to them. You could be feeling great and have a low ejection fraction, but they will tell you you're sick. You could be feeling horrible and have a normal ejection fraction, and they could tell you it must be in your head. That's cardiologists. And cardiologists are the greatest flexionarian physicians in the world because to them, it's all about measuring and fixing. And for the last 25 years, cardiovascular deaths have increased as we're spending over $100 billion more now than we were then doing all this nonsense. These are what I call drug dealers and pimps. So the drug industry, the pharmaceutical industry, certainly advertises. We're one of two countries that allows it and makes crazy claims. They control the entire research behind pharmaceuticals. They control the entire process of the FDA drug approval, and they control the CDC. So good luck to us, right? So the only thing standing between this conglomeration of government drug company power and the patient are doctors. We're the ones who should be the stewards of you, the patient. We're the ones who should say, you know what? I get Pfizer did this study, but look, this study is bogus. And I could show you why. We're the ones who should say, yeah, I get it. A tiny amount of people benefit from blood thinners. Just as many people die from blood thinners. A whole bunch more bleed out and end up in the hospital from blood thinners. So let's see where you fit in this category. And let's also say that most studies weren't done on people over 80 because we know they bleed more. So again, this is how an Osler doctor would talk. A flexionarian doctor is truly just a representative of the drug company. They have fallen prey to the mantra that that you are a collection of numbers, as we will talk about, and that we need to measure every one of those numbers, including the size of your blood vessels, your cholesterol, your blood pressure, your weight, your LDL cholesterol, your HDL cholesterol. So I've seen kidney doctors have 5 pages of labs and tell you they all mean something, and then our job is to get them all normal. We don't care about you. How do we get them all normal? There are two ways: not diet and exercise. Remember, my three rules to staying healthy are diet, exercise, and avoid doctors. They don't talk about the diet and exercise. Osler did. He believed strongly in those. But they talk about either fixing it with a procedure or fixing it with a drug. So who benefits from this? The device manufacturers and the pharmaceutical manufacturers. They don't have to really advertise because they got doctors. They got their pimps. They got their drug dealers. That's who's talking to you and saying, hey, buddy, come here. I just checked some stuff on your blood work, and I'm gonna give you this stuff, and your blood work's gonna be good. Don't I? What do you say? What are the side effects? Well, don't worry about that. Trust me, I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. Would I lead you astray? So they got that whole line going. I'm a doctor. Trust me. Got the white coat. I'm very smart. I went to Harvard. But drug dealers. Drug dealers are drug dealers. A smart doctor, if you went into a smart doctor's office, that doctor would not be measuring a lot of stuff. The first thing the doctor would do would be talking to you. And any measurements that occur are based on your symptoms. That doctor would try to fix any problems that occur with diet and exercise before anything else. They might even probe whether you're anxious, whether you are depressed, whether there are lifestyle problems that are getting in your way. That doctor would be incredibly interested in you as a person. Osler believed that the only way that you could figure out what's going on is to ask the patient, not tell the patient what to do through a series of measurements. That is the power of the drug companies. That's how we do their bidding. A good doctor would never tell you a drug is all good. There's not a drug on the market. The best of the best drugs help very, very few people. And help very few people in a very small way. The vast majority of blood drugs, and there's scientists from Stanford like John Antonides who have looked at this, the vast majority of drugs, we're talking 90% or so, really don't do anything, but except fix a number or some surrogate marker, which we've talked about and we're going to talk more about. They don't help you. You don't live longer or better because of the drug. If you do live longer, it's based on a study that showed a couple of people live a couple of days longer, and very selected people who are not like you. That's how they do their studies. We doctors should know that, and we should tell you that, but we don't, because we're drug dealers and pimps. We are trained to basically facilitate what the drug companies want us to do, what the device companies want us to do, which is to find, to make you feel like you're sick, not based on anything that you're telling me that you feel, but based on measurements. We're going to measure things. We're going to make you feel like sick. So in our book, we have this trio that came out of the Flexner Report, which is measure, diagnose, fix. Those three steps. Measure. That's what we do in our doctor's office, talking to you. The Flexner people actually said talking to the patient actually gets in the way of making a diagnosis because the patient is too subjective and will give you false information that might contradict the numbers that you see. So you measure things. From those numbers, you create diseases. So I will label you with hypertension, kidney disease, diabetes, pre-osteoporosis, pre-dementia, fall risk, atrial fibrillation. I will give you a lot of, the more I can give you, the more I get paid. That's the way our medical system is. And the more I feel good because I've scared you into trusting me. My God, you are a sick son of a bitch. You better listen to me. I'm the doctor. Trust me. I'm a good guy. I'm not a pimp and a drug dealer. I'm a doctor. How dare you say such? What audacity of you? So, yes, that we are pimps and drug dealers, but we will never tell you that. So we will measure it. We will diagnose you with a whole bunch of diseases, and then we'll scare the crap out of you. If you don't take this medicine, you're going to get a stroke on your way home. We've talked about that with atrial fibrillation. If you don't get your LDL cholesterol below 70, you might get a heart attack tomorrow. But doctor, my legs hurt. I can't walk. That has nothing to do with the medicine. You listen to me. I'm the doctor, i.e., I'm the drug dealer and pimp. So as we move forward in these lectures, we will see more and more that the doctor that of the modern era and that came from the Flexner fork in the road that we took, and it's only gotten worse, is no more than someone there to sell you stuff. And to convince you that doing these procedures and taking this stuff is going to make you live longer. And they often use the mantra, well, all those things we talked about that are the cognitive biases. Well, Joe's taking all these medicines and he's 9 years old, right? Now Joe's sitting by the pool, can't get up, but he's 90 years old. And look how much longer everyone's living. Now, as we talked about, people are living longer based on the infectious disease, a lot of things we could do well, like if you have a heart attack or have a stroke, we could do much better. If you have a burst appendix, we're much better at that. If you get in a car accident, we're much better at that. So between infectious disease and that's why you're living longer. As I said, with all this stuff and measurement and fixing, cardiovascular deaths have actually increased. So go figure, they won't tell you that. So as we move forward, we're going to again talk about measuring numbers, surrogate markers. We're going to talk about clinical efficacy, which means are we doing something that actually helps you in a meaningful way? Well, doctors don't do that, but we're going to talk about it. So when you go to the doctor, you'll be able to tell them, yo, doc, I get it. You're a great guy. You're such a good guy. You're not a pimp or a drug dealer. Love you, but how is this going to help me? Because right now these medicines are making me feel horrible. So that's what you're going to learn. Next talk soon.